So you might be wondering why it is that we're referring to this month as a new beginning. Well, it used to be the case that a lot of Unitarian Universalist congregations didn't hold services during the summer. People would go on vacations or they'd be otherwise occupied by summer activities. In farm areas, people would be busy with crops during the summer or supporting the tourist season in their town. Many of the church buildings didn't have air conditioning in hot areas, making it uncomfortable to hold services in the summer. It's not so much the case anymore, but when I first started in UU, my congregation took the summer off. So September would be when the congregation would start its new church year. It was an especially joyous time when we'd all get together again. And most congregations, including our own, September is the beginning of the church year from a financial perspective. That's when our new members of the Board of Trustees start their roles and our staff starts their contract for the coming year. September's also the beginning of the year for the Jewish religion. So the holiday of Rosh Hashanah, which literally means head of the year, will be celebrated this coming Friday. Actually, it starts Thursday evening at sunset. And then that's followed 10 days later by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. These holidays are much more than our secular New Year's Day on January 1st. Rather, these are the high holy days for the year. I grew up Jewish, so I'm pretty familiar with these holidays. Every year, my brother, sister, and I would miss school during these holidays. We would dress up and go to the synagogue. Let me tell you about these holy days. The story goes, God assesses how well you have lived your life during the previous year and how well you've atoned for the sins that you may have done and your transgressions against others. Based on that, he decides whether to write you into the book of life for the coming year. The seal gets stamped on the book and your fate has been decided. These are things I like and things I don't like about this outlook. Personally, I like the concept that our assessment as a human being gets linked to our actions, kind of like karma. To me, this is very UU, but it seems like it's a little over the top to say that whether you're going to live or die gets decided that particular day, and that your fate is then decided or destined to occur no matter what you do after that. I don't think that many people believe that anymore, that they don't believe that people's upcoming fate is predetermined. However, if you think about it, it's quite nice to have a specific time every year when it's your job to take time out and think about how you're living your life. Think about whether you could have done some things better, truly repent for transgressions against others, and even try to make things right with those people you've transgressed against. It's nice to have a time dedicated to thinking about what we're going to do better in the future, and then resolve to make that better reality happen. When this congregation decided to create the Luminescence Holiday, we borrowed a few of these concepts. We decided to include two candles for these same ideas. One is the candle of reflection, which talks about the importance of deeply contemplating who we are and how we're living our lives. Another is the candle of renewal, which talks about recommitting ourselves to living the best life we can live and renewing our spirituality. The Jewish High Holy Days are a spiritual journey. Here's how it goes. Rosh Hashanah, you hear the sounding of the shofar, which is up here, a trumpet made from a ram's horn. Anyway, after Rosh Hashanah, there's a 10-day period of repentance and introspection. At the end of that is Yom Kippur, where you not only pray all day, you fast all day, from sunset of the previous day until sunset of that day. I remember that being pretty tough for us kids. But my folks always said that they thought that there's probably an exception for having a slice of bread every once in a while during the day. It was nice when you could break your fast together as a family with a nice dinner that evening. One of our customs of the High Holy Days is to eat apple slices dipped in honey. Apples are a good natural food imbued with healing properties, and the honey signifies the hope for a year that will be sweet. Another traditional food is the round challah, a special kind of bread which is round in order to symbolize the circle of life. The short greeting for when you see people during the High Holy Days is Lashana Tova, which literally means for a good year. And the long greeting is Lashana Tova Tikatev Vetai Hatem. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. That means may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. So I want to tie together last week's service about renewing our vows with next week's service about renewing our spiritual practices. I think we all suspect that we're going to be spending more time at home than used to be the case in the past. We also know that we tend to surround ourselves in our homes with objects that reflect who we are. So my question is, what do we have in our homes? Of course, we've got all of our supplies for living, furniture, food, kitchen and bath supplies, other equipment that we use in our everyday lives. We have objects that remind us of those we love, pictures of beloved relatives and friends. We've got items that remind us of fun times in our lives, maybe photos or relics from vacations we took. We have gifts we've received, artwork we enjoy, plants to enliven our space, books that we enjoy reading. We might have pets and their supplies. These are all things that we've got surrounding us. And each time we see one of these things, we know why it's there, what it's for. I'd like each of us to ask ourselves what each of us has around us in our house that reminds us of our spirituality, of our theology, of our morals and ethics. These are a few of the things that I have around our house. So it might be that you've got a chalice that you light during our Sunday services. If you sometimes help plan a service, you might have a hymnal. Or if you came from a different faith, you might have objects from that faith, such as my Hanukkah menorah over here. And if you like some other traditions from the around the world, you might have prayer flags or things like that. So does anyone remember the stones we used to place by the coffee pot at our services? They have words etched onto them, like these words. Words like love, peace, courage, strength, gratitude, inspiration. The word touchstone is often used to refer to a standard that you go back to and measure yourself against. In a spiritual sense, anything around you, something you can touch or see or otherwise experience, can be a spiritual touchstone. Sometimes we're so busy with our day-to-day activities and routines that we might forget that it's also important to have spiritual touchstones. I thought it would be fun to think about what we all have around the house that we might consider as our spiritual touchstones. With all the stuff we surround ourselves with, what are the touchstones from a spiritual, ethical, or moral sense? While you think about this, how this relates to you, let me bring up some other possibilities, give you some ideas of less directly religious items. So maybe there are things you have around that reinforce our principles. In support of the inherent worth and dignity of every person, you might have a Black Lives Matter banner. Or you show your support for LGBTQ persons with a pride flag. In pursuit of a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, you may have philosophy books. or in alignment with our seventh principle of interconnectedness of all beings, you might have a video of our planet, the video series. In support of the fifth principle of democratic process, you might have political signs in your yard or even inside your house supporting candidates that back our principles. This is a way to show our morality and try to bring others on board. In a minute, we're going to break into small groups to discuss. The two questions are, what do you have around your home that will help remind you of your spirituality in the coming year? Or are there things you might want to change for the coming year in your life or otherwise? And if you don't have any of these touchstones, are there some things you think you might want to get? Or do you think they're not important for you? Perfectly valid outlook too. I hope your discussions gave you ideas about things that can keep you grounded on the spiritual side. And now for the assignment. This is voluntary, of course, but I'd like to encourage all of us over the next week to think about reflection and renewal. Reflection about the last year and renewal of our spiritual selves to continue to work to become our best possible selves. These times are asking us to be especially present to ourselves and to each other, to be mindful of our need for connection. There are great gifts to be found there if we can become grounded enough and move from a place of calm, presence, and love. And a very short prayer. We are blessed. We are blessed by being here. And we are blessed by being here together.